The last several weeks, we've been in a series called Family Ties, and been enjoying talking about the church, been enjoying talking about kind of God's plan for his bride. If you don't know, a lot of times in Scripture, God talks about the church, and he calls it the bride of Christ, which I think is a great illustration, kind of shows us in a lot of ways how all these things are supposed to work. But we've kind of been dissecting that together as far as this idea of what the church is and what God intended the church to be. I think, and unfortunately, at times, it's very easy to kind of forget what God desires for us to be and to be a part of. So this is going to be week three of Family Ties. The first week, we kind of talked about this idea of being family, about how that God has brought us together to love each other as a family, and that there are hard things that come with families, but at the same time, it's important that we are a part of that and that God's called us to be in that. Last week, we talked about kind of having a heart for his house and all that goes along with that and what that looks like in our lives and things like that. This morning, we're going to talk about something maybe a little bit different, something that maybe you don't maybe think about necessarily when you think about the church or think about about our family as a whole. But here's the things that I've kind of learned as I have now been a little bit older, now that I've grown up and basically not only grown up physically in my own life, but also now having a son and a family of my own and watching him grow up. But I remember there was a time where when I was a kid, we would have a kind of, my mom, I think because of her being a teacher, was very regimented in a lot of ways in our lives. And so we kind of did things that were pretty similar every week. And one of the things I remember about my home on Saturday mornings growing up was the fact that it kind of didn't depend on when it was of the year. If there was some busy stuff going on, maybe it would be different. But we would get up, Dad would go out to Winchell's Donuts. He would buy a dozen donuts, buy a newspaper. Who does that anymore? And we would all come down to the kitchen table. We would all have a donut. Dad would have his paper. And Mom would get out her list. Some of you are laughing because you know exactly where this is going. And I again, maybe because my mom was a teacher, but basically we had on the refrigerator our names written on a small little card with a magnet on the back. And Mom would get out her list, and as we were enjoying our sweet little treat, she would begin to be making plans for that morning. And she would go to the refrigerator, and she would begin to basically put little other cards under our names. Things like clean the bathroom, vacuum the living room. And all these things were there, and our job was to be able to go out after we were done, now that we had a nice sugar rush, and then we were going to go out and do our chores for the day, and possibly, if we did them early enough and well enough, then maybe that Saturday we would do something that wasn't so tedious or something of that nature. And I remember that as I was younger, those things kind of weren't really a part of my Saturday morning. But as I got older, the jobs became a part of that. And sometimes as I got a little bit older, I was the eldest in my family. So sometimes my jobs were a little bit more labor intensive, let's say, than my sisters or whatever else. But I learned as I grew, as I got older, that my responsibilities to my family began to change a little bit. And one of the things I want to talk about this morning is something that as we are growing as individuals, as we're growing in the Lord, as we're maturing in Him, and as our church is growing and the family of God is growing, that there's going to be some things that we're going to have to be willing to take part in to continue to help that growth take place in ourselves and in those around us. We're going to be talking this morning about this idea of accountability. Now, when I say the word accountability, some of you automatically are going, oh, no, I don't want to talk about this. I've done this before. It hasn't gone well, and I don't want to deal with it in the future. And I understand that. Sometimes these situations don't go well. And a lot of times they don't go well because they're not necessarily done in the proper way, in the proper order, and by the proper people. But at the same time, I believe that accountability is one of these things that is so important to our lives. And I've learned this. I've learned that as I've gotten older and hopefully a little bit more mature in the Lord, that actually I've understood what an absolute gift accountability actually is. Now I look I kind of search out accountability. I want there to be accountability. I want there to be people in my life that love me enough to hold me to God's standard. And again, I understand that some of you hear this and we go, oh man, but I'm going to challenge you this morning that as we look at these things, that you don't just basically say, you know what, I'm out to lunch. But do you really allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to open your heart and your mind to what God really intended accountability to be, especially in the body of Christ? So this is what we're going to start out this morning after we pray. Father, we love you and we do thank you for this moment, this time. God, we pray that you would just give us wisdom and direction. And Father, I know that for some people, this topic can be a little difficult. Maybe there's some pain, there's some hurt, there's some disappointment. Maybe there's somebody that they trusted to help them in this area and they were flat out, they were just deceived in a lot of ways. They were things that should have been kept private were not or whatever else. And Father, I just pray that in this moment, first and foremost, if there are those things in people's hearts, whether here or online, that God, that you would even now begin to do a healing work in their hearts and that, Father, that you would also open their hearts to what biblical accountability really is and what a gift it can be when we allow you to lead us in it. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So again, let's start here. Let's look at accountability within the confines of the body of Christ. Because here's the deal. You may have accountability in other areas of your life, and that's good and that's great, but these may be a little different than the accountability that you typically see maybe in the workplace or in other areas of our lives. So let's look at what God really has for us in the body of Christ. Let's first open our scriptures up to Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, verses 9 through 12. This is what it says. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Like, we kind of heard that. I don't know. I remember hearing songs about that. Two is better than one or what, all those sort of things. But actually, Scripture is communicating this, that you were not meant to go through life alone. You were not created to be an island. God made you and made me to be a part of a community and a family of believers. Okay? This is not a birth defect. God did it on purpose. So two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so from this, we're going to kind of start here this morning. We're going to look at a couple of things that we can understand about accountability from this scripture and from some others in the Bible. And I think that's where we need to start, because for some of us, accountability has never started with a biblical understanding and a biblical base. And when we allow things to kind of creep in that may not be those things, it can really mess up the entirety of the structure that I believe God is wanting us to understand and see. So number one, accountability is emphasized through partnership and community. Now here's what I mean by that. Here's the thing. Here's why some of you have had a rough experience with accountability. You have been held accountable by people that you have never asked to hold you accountable. And that can hurt. You have people who do not know the areas or the things that you are going through in your life. And so basically what they do is they see a small snippet of some area of your life and they feel that it is their job or their place to come to you and basically maybe call you on it or tell you what you're doing wrong or something of that nature. Accountability is emphasized through this idea that we do it together and that partnership. And I'll say this. I will say in my own personal life, the best accountability individuals that I've experienced are people that I invite to be accountable, to help me be accountable, okay? I've come to them and I said, will you hold me accountable to this? Will you hold me to this standard? Because I've been hurt too. I've hurt by people that think it's their job, or we've talked about this before, they think their fruit of the Spirit is criticism. They do. And they think it's my job to make sure you're aware of this or that. And interestingly enough, that's not what we see here in this idea of accountability. It's a partnership. It comes through having a relationship with people, a relationship that you can trust, a relationship that has been taken, has taken time to develop and grow. And it's something that I think is very important in that concept. Number two, accountability is an essential ingredient in our spiritual growth. Some of you, you're going to look at your life, okay? And I think that we've all been here in some time in our life or another, and you almost feel stuck. You ever felt that way, spiritually speaking? You just kind of feel stuck. It's like you've been growing, you've kind of been moving, and then all of a sudden you kind of get to this moment, and you kind of get stuck. You're not sure how, you're not sure why. Maybe there are areas in your life where maybe you're dealing with a certain thing that you just can't get over or can't get past. I think we all sometimes have those areas in our lives that we're kind of like, I want to do better in this area, but I never seem to. We kind of spin our wheels in the mud a little bit. Accountability is one of the great tools that God has given a group of believers together to help us to grow. Because basically in that, we're having someone come alongside us, and we'll get a little bit more into this later, and basically encouraging us, prodding us forward, saying, listen, you can get through this, you can do this, you can make it, you can grow in this area. But it also helps because someone's really kind of keeping us aware of where we're at. Because here's the deal. I don't know if you're like this. I'm like this. Sometimes I think I'm a little further along than maybe I really am. Maybe I'm blind to certain areas, or maybe I don't want to really just admit that in those areas I'm not doing very well. Well, if I have a person that has come alongside me, that is a part of that says, listen, man, I love you enough to say, let's keep moving forward. It can be a huge part of our spiritual growth. I would ask you, and we'll look at this a little bit later, like if you feel stuck, spiritually speaking, do you have someone that you're accountable to? Do you have someone that's going to put their arm around you and say, you know what? We can move forward in this. We can grow in this area. Number three, and this is a big one, accountability will always require a level of vulnerability. You can't do this if you're not willing to be honest. Because here's the deal. Let's say you come to me and say, listen, Aaron, will you hold me accountable in this area? Will you hold me, let's kind of be, not silly, but let's just kind of use one that's not necessarily a spiritual thing. You come to me and say, Aaron, I want you to hold me accountable not to eat any cookies for a month. Now, why you'd want to do that, I do not know. But I say, okay, no problem. I will hold you accountable. I will call you every... When do you usually eat cookies? Well, I usually eat cookies right before bed. Okay. What time do you go to bed? 10 o'clock. Fine. I will call you at 9:30 and I will say, listen, I love you. You've asked me to be a part of this. I'm thrilled and honored that you would want me to be a part. Have you had any cookies today? Are you eating any cookies before you go to bed? You can do this. You've gone 3 weeks. You're almost there. You can do it. All those sort of things. And you say, okay, that sounds great. So basically, I call you. I call you right when I say, I pick up the phone. Hello, how are you? I'm doing fine. Are you eating any cookies? Have you eaten any cookies? And you say, no, I've been doing so good. Can you hold on a moment? No, not a single cookie. No, not at all. Okay, well, I'm gonna go to bed now. Okay, good. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Click. Oh, more cookies. Where are the Oreos? Okay. It doesn't work. I've had people come to me and go like, well, I've done this accountability thing, and it didn't help me grow. It didn't do anything like this. And I say, oh, well, were you honest? Well, what do you mean? You mean actually tell somebody about my faults? You mean actually tell somebody about my weakness? Yeah, that is the point. Well, no. Bless your heart. You're going to have to be vulnerable. You're going to have to be willing to look at people, invite people into your heart, into your life, that you can be honest with. That's why it's so important that you're wise, and we'll talk about this in a minute, who you invite to be a part of you, a part of this area of your life. But listen, if you're not willing to be vulnerable, it just won't be effective. And here's the other thing. I'm going to tell you this, because I know sometimes where we run to this, if you're married, okay, if you're married, you have a ready-made accountability partner that God has given you. But I would challenge you, you need another, okay? And this is how it works. You need to understand this for just wisdom's sake. Guys, find a male accountability partner. Ladies, find a lady accountability partner. But there needs to be someone even more than your wife or your husband, even though they can be a huge, huge part of this. Trust me. Trust me. But it's also good to have someone that will understand a little bit more, because God made men and women different, and I'm glad he did. And so sometimes that is very helpful, but there needs to be a level of vulnerability in your life and in that relationship. Number four, and this is big, because sometimes we forget this one. The purpose of accountability within the body of Christ is to help move people we are accountable to closer to Jesus. Listen, this is not basically something we do to try to have sin, you know, basically eradicated from our lives. First of all, we all are going to struggle. The object of this, the hope here, is that as we are accountability partners, as we are accountability to each other, that we're driving people, we're pushing each other to be more and more and more like Jesus. When we do that, it changes everything in our heart, in our lives. So when we look at why we're doing this, it's not so we can seem like we're spiritually superior than to someone else. It's not so that we can judge our life versus others. It's not so that we can have the ability to look at people and basically tell them all the horrible things that they're doing wrong. The purpose of accountability that God wants is that basically the people we're accountable to, the people we're accountable for, all of us are moving and becoming more and more and more like Jesus. If you look at accountability and you don't see that as the purpose, you're biblically missing the point. Because in this idea, we want us all to be more and more like Jesus. We talked about that in some ways last week when we talked about having a heart for his house, that we need to be centered, Jesus-centered in our hearts, in our lives. And that counts as well as far as accountability. But here's the thing, when it's done right, when it's done in the proper perspective, with the proper purpose, with the proper understanding, with the proper people, when all these things work the way that God wants them to work, there's something that happens in our hearts and our lives, and that is there is a level of growth in Christ that happens when we get close enough to people to let them speak into our lives from a place of Christ-likeness and humility. There is something that God does in our lives when we're willing to say, you know what? If I'm not going to just say I'm a family, I'm not just going to say I love you, I'm actually going to live it out in my heart and in my life. Growth happens. Change happens. Maturity happens. Closeness happens. You know? In that scripture in Ecclesiastes, we see this concept of three strands not easily being broken. The reason why those three strands are not easily broken is not because one is here, one is here, one is here, and there's distance in between them. It's because they have been interwoven together. And I truly believe what God desires for our church, for every church, for his church, is a group of believers that are woven together. In that way, that we're encouraging one another, that we're holding each other up in these ways, in a way of Christ-likeness. Listen, my job is not to hold you to my standard. How can I help you be more like Jesus, not more like Aaron? Because trust me, you do not want to be more like Aaron. But when we're more like Jesus, it changes everything. Not from a place of spiritual superiority. Oh, how many people am I holding accountable? No, but from a place of humility. We're going to see some scripture here in a little bit that where Paul warns people, listen, you better be careful because you are in a very vulnerable spot when you are holding other people accountable. Because here's the deal. Here's the thing you need to remember. When others are looking to you for you to help them and you are failing in those areas, you can really bring some damage. And I think some of us have experienced that before, where we basically looked at individuals who are helping us in a particular area and they are failing in it as well. So it starts from Jesus. It starts from that area and those desires. But here's the deal. when we can do it the way God intended for it to be done, there are some amazing benefits that come from it. This morning, I want to look at just four. There's more than four, but I want to look at four benefits of biblically ground, community-oriented accountability. And I use those big words on purpose, because if we take the biblical idea out of it, if we take the community-oriented part of it out of it, the partnership out of it, we take all those things out, these benefits go away, and they go away quickly. So we need to look at these together. So we're going to look at four. There's more, but we'll look at four this morning. Number one, the number one first benefit, connection. Connection. There is a connection that comes when we are willing to do life together in this way. When we're not a group of people who basically keep each other at arm's length and say, listen, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're in my family. But listen, you stay over there. I'll stay over here and we'll be just fine. That's not the connection that God wants us to have. In fact, in Galatians 6, Paul writes to the church there in Galatia and basically shares something very interesting to them. He says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. It's interesting here what Paul writes. Paul's writing here, listen, our job, one of the things that we need to be a part of, the connection that God wants to do is the fact that we're going to share each other's stuff. The hard things and the good things, thankfully. But there's a burden that we're going to share. And listen to what Paul says here. And this is good. Sometimes we miss this. He says, when we will do that, when we'll share each other's burdens, we're actually obeying the law of Christ. Well, what's the law of Christ? What does that look like? The idea of basically, first and foremost, loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others as we love ourselves. In that, by sharing each other's burdens, we're loving God and loving others. But if we're a people that basically say, you know what, I don't know if I like this. I think I'm going to stay back here on the sidelines. We miss the opportunity, not just to share one each other's burdens, which is huge, but to truly love each other. And here's the deal. Here's the thing that we kind of see in the American church. And I think that in some ways it's prevalent. In some ways, I'll be honest, because sometimes, you know, people like me, and I'm sure I do it too, we've kind of made the idea of Christianity a very personal thing. And you're going, isn't it personal? Yes, it is. It is. It totally is. But it doesn't stop there. There is something that God wants to do, not just in you, but through you. And sometimes it's very easy to kind of forget that. But listen, we need to understand this. As believers, we have a responsibility to come alongside our brothers and sisters in their struggles. God's not sitting here going, listen, this is optional for you. If you feel like it, if you have time. No, that's not what the body of Christ is supposed to be. It's supposed to be people that say, you know what? I love you enough. I care about you enough. I'm going to come and shoulder these burdens with you. But here's what I've learned. Here's what I've seen. I see this happen a lot of times in the church. We'll have somebody come, and I'm just going to use kind of big C church because I think it happens all over the place, where somebody comes and they're maybe at a church. Maybe they've been there 3 weeks. Maybe they've been there 3 years. Maybe they've been 30 years. And something happens. Something really bad happens, or a really hard time comes through. And basically they come in, and you know this has happened because sometimes you do it. Sometimes I do it, okay? We walk in and our lives are literally falling apart. We have burden upon burden upon burden. And we walk in and there's the greeter at the door. How are you? Fine. I'm doing great. We do that for about 3 weeks. And then the pastor gets a phone call. We're leaving the church. Why are you leaving the church? No one cares about my struggles. No one knew about your struggles. You see, part of this is being vulnerable enough that when somebody looks at you and says, how you doing? Maybe you don't just pour your heart out right there at the entrance, but you have people in the church, you have people in your life who you can literally look at and say, you know what? I'm not doing okay. I'm hurting right now. I need someone to come alongside me and share in prayer and other areas these burdens that are going on in my life. When we do marriage counseling, premarital counseling, and sometimes when we do marriage counseling, one of the things I always share in those sessions is the fact that none of us have the gift of mind reading. And that if you're hurting, we need to share that with people. Now again, I'm not saying come on up here to the stage and let everybody know. But is there someone, is there people in your life that God has come and said, you know what, I want you to connect with them. So when you go through these moments, because we will, you'll have someone to be a part of that. You'll have the Lord always, but you'll also have someone that'll be here to be a part of sharing those burdens with you. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes this whole idea, and he kind of shares this idea of the body of Christ, and he uses the idea of a body, and he kind of wants us to understand a little bit here. In verse number 12, we're going to look at verse number 12 in a second, and then verse number 27, he kind of frames these two things, but kind of with 12 and 27, but in the middle here, he kind of, and some of you have maybe heard this portion of Scripture before, where Paul talks about, basically, I don't remember exactly what body parts, but like the eye and the ear and the foot and all these sort of things, and them basically looking at each other and saying, well, I'm not as important because I'm not this, or I'm going to just detach myself because I'm not this or I'm not that. And for some of us, that's kind of the way we live. We kind of have this idea, and Paul says, no, this is not the way God has meant for us to operate. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So what's Paul doing here? He basically says this is like the body of Christ. He's kind of laying the groundwork for this concept. Listen, we're a part of this together. We're connected together. And again, this idea is, well, I'm not this or I'm not that, so I can disconnect myself. And how silly that is when you really think about it. How that's really not possible without a lot of pain. Okay? Like, listen, I can remove this from this, but it is going to hurt a lot. And it's going to affect the rest of me if this is removed. That's what Paul's trying to get us to see here. Why connection is so important. And then verse 27, he reminds us, listen, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. There is a connection that God desires to bring in that and through that. We also see this verse in 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. It says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. The connection that God wants to bring is a benefit. It's one of those things that we can take and use in our lives and in our relationships. But it comes from this idea of being accountable to each other, to love each other enough to say, you know what? I'll be there to hold you up. I'll be there to encourage you. I'll be there when there's other things that we're going to look at in just a minute that are a part of this. So number one, connection. Connection. Number two, direction. Direction. Now, some of you go, well, wait a minute. I know the Scripture. I'm glad you do. And it says this. It says that God orders the steps of the righteous, basically. That's what Scripture says. And I would say I absolutely agree with that, without question. But I will tell you this. One of the ways that God has directed my steps, and I believe that God will direct your steps, is the people that he's placed in your life to have community with, to have accountability with, and to be there for you. There's been so many times in my life where God has used other people to be his instrument to help guide my life, to help me get to where I needed to be. And I think that as we get older, I don't know about you, but I keep seeing more and more of those types of connections. I always see these things that are a part of that and bringing these things together. And I could tell you, and I'm sure you could tell me, story after story after story of how, well, this person was in my life and they influenced me here and I began to grow in this area. And because of that, I was kind of going through this moment where I wasn't sure, do I go right? Do I go left? And I was praying about it. And I was asking the Lord, and I came to this person that knew the situation, that had shared some life experiences, and we prayed together and we just felt like this was God's leading. And I went down that path. And because I did, this took place and this took place and this took place. Listen to what it says in the Proverbs. Proverbs 11:14, it says this, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." Through lack of guidance, a nation falls. But through many advisors, victory is the result. My question to you is simply this. If you're going through times in your life where maybe right now you're going, you know what? I don't really have any big decisions. I don't have anything that are going to come. That's great. That's awesome. But you know as well as I do that that's going to change. And when it changes, don't you want some people that have walked some life experience with you to be a part of praying with you and helping you in those decision-making processes? Again, I get it. The Lord speaks. We listen to what He says. And we obey Him. We use God's word in the same way. We allow that to speak through our hearts and to speak to us as far as where the way that we are to go and to walk in it. But I've seen it over and over and over again where God uses those we are in deep relationship with to speak wisdom in our life, direction in our life, and other types of those types of things inside of us. Again, Proverbs 13:20 says this, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Are you walking with those that know the wisdom of God? Are you a person that's growing in your wisdom of God so that you can help those that God places in your life to find and understand biblical concepts, biblical direction, and to allow those things to allow God to use you in that way and to let God use others to make a difference in your life? Listen, by surrounding ourselves with wise advisors and seeking their guidance, we increase the chances of making wise choices and experiencing victory. It's as simple as that. I want to experience wise choices in my life. I want to experience the victories that God has for me. I want that for you too. And what's so amazing about this way that God has done this in our lives is He's basically saying, listen, you can walk through these things together. You don't have to be alone. Some of us, man, we deal with those things. It's like, man, we have to make these decisions. And it's like, we're all alone. It's like God and us, which is enough. Don't misunderstand me. But let's be honest. I like having God and me and Emily and others to be a part of that with me. Because sometimes, let's be honest, it's hard. We don't want to take the wrong steps. And God uses us in each other's lives to not just help with connection, but also to help with direction. But it doesn't stop there. Number three is protection. Protection. One of the things that I've learned and appreciate the gift of accountability so much is the protection that it gives us. The fact that we desperately need it. Sometimes we don't even understand how much we need this protection to come and kind of cover us, as it were. Look what it says here in James 5. In James 5:12, it's a really powerful verse that James is writing to us to help us to understand this concept. And he writes this, he says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." It says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Listen, if you're confessing sin to each other, one of the great ways that that comes is through this idea of relationship and accountability. And what's interesting about it is this. Scripture teaches us that we go to Jesus for forgiveness of sin. And because of that forgiveness of sin, it changes us. But it's interesting here that we don't just confess our sin to Jesus for forgiveness. We actually confess our sin to each other to bring about healing. You see, for some of us, we are dealing with this pain and this hurt and this situation. For some of us, it's been going on for weeks. Others, it's been going on for years. And we just can't get past it. We just can't get that healing that needs to come. Sometimes what God is waiting for us to do is to confess that hurt, that sin to each other so that He can begin to work in our hearts and heal us of the things that are going on inside of us. It's not that confession is basically making the healing taking place. It's basically that confession, if we do that in the right way, in the biblical concept, it is opening up our hearts to be allow God to do in us what He wants to do. You see, here's the deal, and I wanted us to get this. I wrote it down. It's a little long, but just go with me here. It says, by confessing our sins to one another, we acknowledge our weakness and allow others to support us in our journey of health, of healing and growth. Through accountability, we come to realize that we are not alone in our struggles and that there is strength in vulnerability. Okay? I don't know if you've ever been here, and maybe it's just the role that God has placed me in, where it is so easy for me to feel alone. And here's the deal. Here's the third little secret. Like, you can go, like, I am going to come to church today, and I'm going to make sure that Aaron does not feel alone. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. When he's up there speaking, I'm going to literally just put my arm around him, and I'm going to walk around with him, and I'm going to get my steps in. But I'm going to make sure he doesn't feel alone. And guess what? You could do all those things, and there's still a very good chance that I'm going to feel alone. Why? Because sometimes in my heart and in my life, I feel alone because there's a part of me that doesn't always understand the idea of vulnerability either, or confession either. And so in those ways, I kind of miss out on those areas. And I got a feeling I'm not alone. I'm not alone in that. But there is protection and healing and growth that God wants to do. But listen, He's not only the protection that we see in accountability is not just that, but there's more that we have available to us if we'll allow God to use us and others to use them in this area. And it's also found in Hebrews 3. In Hebrews 3, 12 through 13, listen to what it says. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters. And I love how we still see this family kind of concept being shared here. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. One of the great things that accountability protects us from is a hard heart. Because man, is it easy to have a hard heart. Man, you could be doing great, everything's going well, and you walk into your boss's office, they say something or you say something, all of a sudden it's like, maybe you're having a good day or something like that, and your husband or your wife or your kid, I mean, it's amazing how quickly our hearts can get hard towards people, towards situations, towards circumstances, or towards God. It can happen so quick, so fast. I think it's why the writer of Hebrews said, listen, this is a daily thing that you need to be a part of in someone's life and each other's lives. Daily encouraging, daily doing these things. You know why? Because sin sometimes can creep in so quick, hardness can creep in so quick, and all of a sudden you look back and a year later you're like, man, why is my heart so hard towards this person or to God or to this situation or this circumstance? One of the great protections of accountability is having someone there daily encouraging, daily saying, how's your heart? Are you keeping it soft? Are you allowing it to get hard? Because trust me, I know this from personal experience. It can happen so fast. So fast. And I love the protection. I love the protection that accountability can bring. And for some of us, we're kind of walking around, if this makes sense, and I'll just use this as a simple example. We're kind of walking around without sunscreen on at noon in the mountains with no cloud cover, and we're confused of why we're so sunburned. Do you get what I mean by that? Listen, the idea of accountability is not don't go to the mountains, don't go at noon. That's not the point. Because here's the deal, sometimes in our hearts and in our lives, whether we want to be there at those times or not, we're going to be. When we're accountable with each other and a part of that, it's like basically, it's a weird way to put it, but have you ever gone to the beach and you know you can't reach some of those areas? You ever seen somebody with one of those sunburns? I feel like that is the loneliest sunburn you can have. You know why? Because you had no one to rub it on your back. And so what you do is you have this, and I mean, it's horrible to say this, but it kind of makes me giggle. You know, you'll have this, and so you got like all this white, and then this is all burnt. Or maybe you have this, you know, you'll have those patches that you have. You know, some of us, we're experiencing life in this moment, and just to be honest with you, we're getting sunburned, and we don't know why. And I would say maybe now's a good time to have someone in your life who can say, listen, I'll get that sunburn where you can't. Or I'll get that sun lotion where you can't. So that you won't get burnt in these areas and allow your heart to get hard. It's a protection. Number four, last one. And this one isn't easy. But it's a part of this that we need to embrace. And I truly do believe, even though we're not big fans of it, it is a gift from the Lord. And that is the idea of correction. Correction. Now, again, when we understand correction, we need to understand a couple things. Number one, it needs to be biblically based. We'll see in a minute. It needs to be gentle and so on and so forth. But correction is a huge part of this understanding. Here's the deal. If I and you and I are in this type of relationship, and I bring forth this idea of connection, direction, and protection, and I leave out correction, it can all fall apart very quickly. And we need to understand that. Let me give you an example of kind of how this can work. About 3 months ago, I went to the eye doctor. I think most of you know this, maybe you don't, but I wear contacts. And so I went to the eye doctor and she, you know, did the exam and, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And okay, this is the contacts you need and all these sort of stuff. And it was great, you know, no big deal. And I remember I was going to leave, and I needed to make sure I got a copy of my prescription. So I got my prescription because I needed to go get some contacts, basically. So the lady handed me the prescription, and I grabbed it and didn't think much about it, and basically, you know, went to, we buy our contacts at Costco. So I went to Costco and basically to order some contacts. And I was getting ready. I was in line, bored, you know, because it was a line. And I kind of looked down at my prescription. And I'd never noticed this before. Maybe I just didn't pay attention to it or just wasn't that big of a deal. And maybe it was just the Lord through the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you need to focus on this because in about 3 months you're going to share it in service. I don't know. But basically I looked down and it didn't say, and do this, maybe my doctor's the only one that does this. It didn't say contact lenses. You know what it said? Corrective lenses. I never known that before. I was like, I guess I just don't read very often. I don't know, but I just didn't pay attention to it. And I was like, oh, interesting. They call them corrective lenses. Well, I wonder why don't they just call them contacts? I started thinking about it. Well, it's simple. I can't see very well. When I look without contacts or without glasses, I get a very blurred picture of my world. It's not a good idea if I drive without my contacts or without my glasses. You know what I'm talking about. I need some correction over my eyes to help me to see clearly. For some of us, because maybe of situations or circumstances, because it's not always fun, hear me here. You have been walking around, some of you, for years without any correction in your eyes. And you can't quite figure out why you always end up in a pit. You can't quite figure out why sometimes you drive the car into the lamppost. Listen, this is a gift that God has given us. Correction is a gift. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is. It's not fun. I'm not saying it is, but I'll tell you what. When I'm trying to walk around my house without my corrective lenses on, I can't see very well. But when I have my corrective lenses on, it's amazing what I can see, where I can go, what I can experience. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 11 talks about this. He says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. No correction. It's painful. Later on, however. Later on. Okay? Sometimes we don't like that later on. We want it to be now. Okay? But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. And peace for those who have been trained by it. You realize the correction, discipline, actually brings peace into your life? It's an amazing thing that God does. Is it fun? No. Is it pleasant in the time? Absolutely not. No one likes to be corrected. But it brings forth a harvest of some absolutely incredible things. And here, I'm just going to speak for me. I know in my own life and in my own heart, yeah, it hadn't been fun. But I can stand before you going, this promise is yes and amen. Because I have seen it over and over and over. So yeah, it's not fun. But listen, there's also a right way to do it in this relationship and in this understanding. Look at Galatians 6:1. It says, brothers and sisters, there it is again. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. You know, we talked earlier about what the fruit of the Spirit was and really wasn't. Criticism was not. Gentleness, interestingly enough, is. Gently. And then it goes on. I love Paul. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Listen, when we correct, how can we do it in a gentle way that goes back to the purpose of what this is all about, which is helping people become more and more like Jesus? You see, hear me here. There's a lot of people that will not step foot into a church building because they were not treated this way. And because instead of letting that correction that, trust me, still needed to happen, but happened in such a negative, harsh way, they go, I'm not going to be a part of that. And in fact, that correction pushed them away from Jesus. Now listen, if you know me at all, I hope that you know this. If not, I'm going to tell you right now. Okay? I believe in what this word says. Period. I don't care what the culture says. I love you. I don't care what you say. Please hear my heart when I say that. What I care about, this is our authority. And one of the things that God has called us to be a part of is at times correction. And I know that sometimes I haven't done it gently. I haven't done it in the right way. But my heart and my desire is to bring forth that correction gently so that you can grow closer to Jesus. I love the scripture that talks about how Jesus loves and the Lord loves those he disciplines. Listen, when you're corrected, it's not, shouldn't be an understanding of like the slap on the hand. Instead, it should be a hug around your neck because it's God showing how much he loves you. And it's hard sometimes. I get it, but it's so important. But for some of us, we want to live this life where we don't have that in our hearts and our lives. We want to look at things and make God's word say what we want it to say and how we want it to say it to justify maybe this action or that action. Well, I want to do this, and so I don't care what God's word says or whatever it might be. And the problem is that has some really major effects in our lives, even though sometimes we don't always understand it. I brought something that I have not used now, I think, in about 4 or 5 or 6 months to church. Not happy about it, but it's just the way. My yard is basically showing the fact that I've not used this before. Obviously, for those that do not know, again, because maybe we haven't used it in a while, this is an umbrella. It's a wonderful little invention. The whole point of the umbrella is to basically protect you from the elements. And so if it's raining outside or sleeting outside or whatever it might be, you hit this little button right here, and how you have that covering, you have that protection. So if it was raining inside, I know this looks kind of funny probably, and I'm sure somebody's gonna, don't do this, take a picture of it and put it on the internet. Say, look at the nut, you know, he thinks this is raining inside, don't put it, okay, good, making sure no phones. There it was, yeah. You know what I've never done with an umbrella? And this is gonna sound funny, but just go with me here. I've never been upset and never looked at an umbrella and said, how dare you have authority over my life? How dare you be over me? I've never done that. I've always basically, when it's raining or needing it, I put it over, because when it's covering me, everything that would normally be here is now going off on the sides. If I took this umbrella, as silly as it would say to do this, and it was raining outside, and I basically did this, well, you know what? I'm going to be over this. I'm not going to let anything be over me. I'm going to keep myself above everything else. Well, guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get really, really wet. You see, the thing that we need to understand, and this is in your notes, if you're above correction, then you're outside of protection. Okay? If you are above correction, then you are outside of protection. For some of us, we have been walking our Christian life like this and can't understand why we're soaked. In a lot of ways, the idea of protection and correction go hand in hand. That's why I put them together here at the end. For some of us, we need to understand that this needs to go here. We need to allow, first and foremost, the authority and the correction of God's word to be what covers us. But we also have the opportunity to share this with each other. You know, this isn't a very big umbrella, but you can buy bigger ones, you know, and you ever seen those, the bigger ones, you know, and you have the two people? Like, when I think about accountability and I think about the idea of connection and direction and protection and correction, all those things, and yes, they all rhyme, I always get this picture, I don't know if you do, I don't know why I do even, of one of those big umbrellas. And there's these two people and they got their arms around each other and they're walking and they're completely dry. But everything around them, the rain is flowing, the lightning is flashing, it's a mess. And I think it's a beautiful picture that God wants. And it's funny, because for some of us, in a lot of ways, we want the benefits without the accountability. And it just doesn't always work like that. We want the connection without the vulnerability. And it just doesn't work like that. And here's the deal. Like I said earlier, in a lot of ways, some of the best accountability relationships I have ever had, it's not me going to someone and say, hey, I think you should be accountable to me. It's they've come to me and they've asked me, or I've asked them. Again, kind of going back to that idea of basically this needs to be done in the right way. This partnership needs to be formed in the correct way. But as we close this morning, as once again we look at this idea that, you know what, as we're growing up in Jesus, as we're becoming more and more mature, and just like my jobs in my home growing up changed, maybe this is the one that God is saying, listen, maybe on the refrigerator, your name is there, and God wrote, find someone that you can be accountable to on your card and stuck it under your name. Maybe someone's come to you and said, will you help me in this area? And maybe you just didn't feel like you had the time, or you didn't want to deal with it, or you didn't want to mess with it, or you just, I don't want to deal with this situation right now. And you've kind of said no. Maybe God is coming to you today and he's writing out something like that. You know, you need to allow that person to be accountable to you, and he's stuck it under your name. to close this morning, I just want to ask a real simple question. A question that we all need to answer, that we all need to consider, and it's this. Am I close enough to my brothers and sisters in Christ for you to provide for me all the benefits that come with being accountable to others? You see, this happens in relationship. It happens in a lot of ways. It's found in the body of Christ. And for some of us, we've kind of thought that our walk with Jesus is simply a loner type of situation. When God has called us to live in community and family and vulnerability with each other. And again, I'm not saying with everyone, but I am saying that I do believe that God is calling us all to be in that type of a relationship. Now here's the deal. Here's the thing you need to remember. You cannot do this if you are not first in love with Jesus. You cannot be accountable, and you cannot hold someone accountable really well if you are first and foremost not living a life that God would have you live. It's interesting that in Galatians 6:1, Paul says, those that are filled with the Spirit or in the Spirit, this idea of basically, listen, if your life isn't matching up with what the Word of God is saying, you're not really in a position to correct anyone. In fact, what you need in that moment is someone to correct and help you. So before we can sit there and say, well, I'm going to do this or I want to do that, first and foremost, we need to let the Holy Spirit do a little looking in our hearts. Am I in a position where I can allow these things to happen? Am I in a position where I can do this for someone else? And here's the deal. Here's what you're going to find more than likely. You're going to find the Lord says, well, you're close, but there's some areas we need to look at, which is a wonderful thing. And we allow Him to do that so we're prepared. And listen, that's an ongoing thing. We don't just do it one time and then go, okay, now I'm ready. No, it's a constant process that God is wanting to do in you and through you. But it starts there. And when that is ongoing, and when the Lord is working in your heart in those areas, have you built up a relationship with someone enough where that conversation wouldn't be strange or weird? Where it's almost like, well, of course, like that just fits so well because we've already been doing life together, but you know what? Let's take that next step of vulnerability. Let's take that next step of commitment to each other to where we're going to say, you know what? I'll be there for you. You be there for me. When we're dealing with things, we'll share those things. We'll get healing. We'll pray. There'll be a protection. There'll be a closeness. There'll be a direction. And listen, I don't know about you, but in my own personal life, other than my relationship with my wife, some of the best relationships I have ever had are those types. They've been the most rewarding. They've been the most spurring me on to grow. They've been amazing. God has used them to direct my steps. Listen, I don't have time. In fact, I've gone too long now. I don't have time to tell you, but if you want to know, I can tell you how actually that type of relationship in my life brought me here. Like, I would not be here right now. I would not be sharing this with you. I would not know what Broomfield Assembly was if it wasn't for those types of relationships in my life. They're powerful. They can change things. And I want us to experience those. I believe it's one of the things that God is wanting to do during this time in His church. Because I think, quite honestly, just there's a lot of single cords that are being broken extremely easy by the enemy. And there's some times where we need to start getting some interwovenness to stand up against the things the enemy really wants to do. So it's simple. Are you in that type of place? First and foremost with the Lord and with others. And if you're not, are you willing to allow the Lord to direct your steps to that individual? Are you willing? And here's the deal, like, maybe it's somebody in this church, maybe it's somebody that goes to another church, maybe it's somebody that goes to your work. I'll let God do that. I'll let God lead you. But I think for most of us, if we're truly honest, maybe there's a little accountability with our spouse, or maybe with a parent or a sister or brother, like family, really family. But we would say, you know what, I really don't have that individual in my life. And I do believe that God desperately wants you to experience the unbelievable gift of accountability, and I don't want you to miss it. So let's close in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, we thank you for this time. God, we thank you for this opportunity. And Father, I know that for some people, we use that word accountability, it can be a little scary because accountability for a lot of years, honestly, has been done very, very poorly. It has become something that I do not believe Scripture wants it to be. And God, even though we as individuals will not always do things perfectly, God, I believe that as we have a biblically based understanding of this, that that can be a foundation that we can build on. Not that our plans will always be perfect, not that we'll handle everything perfectly, but that God, that we'll start from the right place. And so Father, first and foremost, I pray that all of our hearts would be drawn to you, that you would work in areas and situations and circumstances. You would do the things that only you can do. Father, we're not looking at a replacement for you. You are always first. You are the center. But God, at the same time, when you looked at Adam and you said, man shouldn't be alone, God, you were still there at that moment, and you knew that we also, besides you, needed each other. And so, Father, you ordained this. You planned this. You want this. So God, not in a way to replace you, but in a way to basically someone to come alongside us as we become more and more like you. That's our desire. And so Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our eyes to those individuals. Maybe that we already know, we already be like, man, Aaron, will you just be quiet so I can go talk to somebody after service and talk to them about this? Or that God, that you would just make it very clear. And that, Father, growth would be the result. Becoming more and more like you would be the result. Intimacy would be the result. Brothers and sisters being built up and encouraged would be the result. Because I do believe that's what you desire for these things to be. So, God, we love you. We thank you. You're so good. And we thank you for this gift of accountability. This gift of truly close relationships that strive for each of us to be more and more like you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Listen, a couple things. Number one, we're going to lunch together. If you want to come have lunch with us at Jason's Deli, we're going to try to head over that direction really soon, so please join us. We'd love to have you. Also, we have some cookies that were brought in today. And so back on the little table back there, there are some cookies. So if you just want to maybe grab some on your way to Jason's Deli or whatever, please do so. They are there for you, or share them with the kids. But I wanted to make sure you were aware of that so no one would kind of just stare at them and go, can I eat this cookie or not? Yes, eat the cookies and enjoy them. I love you all. We'll talk to you soon.